Well, good morning, everybody. So our missions team, I just echo what Nadine shared. We sent down 250 pounds of clothes and toys to bless the kids down there. Is that awesome? And special thanks to Paige and her crew. They like vacuum sealed all the stuff to make it fit. And I'm not sure how they did it because I saw that stack too. I brought some things in Sunday afternoon and it was overflowing. And it just makes me so appreciative to be a part of a church that has such a generous heart to give. So they're doing great. They delivered all of the clothes and all of the toys and everything, and I've spent some time working on some rebar and getting the foundation in on the church. Next Sunday, Mike will have a much better presentation of everything that they did with pictures and to give an update on all of that. But will you just join me? They may be joining us online right now today. I'm not sure, but let's just pray for our brothers down there. And I say brothers because there's just five guys. So nothing against women on the mission field, right? So Lord, we just thank you for the faith of these guys, Lord, to step out and to go outside of their comfort zone. I thank you, Lord, for those that gave toward this building that they are erecting, Lord, that will be here long after we will be here, Lord, as a testament to your faithfulness. And I just pray, Lord, for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit on this community, Lord, that not just having a building there, but that you would inspire all of the leaders, anoint them, Lord, give them vision how to reach the children and the parents and their entire community. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Come on, we can do better than that. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. I like it. That's great. Well, like we said before, happy Mother's Day to, I say, all women. Because I had a special journey to become a mom that I'm going to share about today and just the journey of infertility. So there were many years that I would come on a Mother's Day. And it can be a little awkward when you're not a official mom yet, but in my heart I was. And we celebrate all women, teen women through whatever age, whether you've birthed kids, raised kids, you have still been an example. You know, we always stand on the shoulders of those that go before us. So I believe that that mother's heart is in all of us, and I thank you. The Bible says to give honor where honor is due. And so I think it's very special that we have a day set aside in our calendar to honor moms and a day set aside in our calendar to honor dads. Have any of you ever been questioned by your kids, when's kids day? Yeah. And what do we say? I didn't even have to plant people out there to say that. I love it. My kids are always like, well, you know, because there is honor, special honor given just to the mom or to the dad on those special days. And they're just like, well, when is kids' day? And just like you, my response is, every day is kids' day. But we say that tongue in cheek because we do want to honor our children as well. Well, guess what? I'm married to a man that every week brings good news, so how can I not come and bring good news as well? We are continuing on in the series that Mike has for, there we go. I went too far. For the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes are blessings that we have. And so today I just wanted to talk about where it says in the Bible, blessed whose quiver is full of children. Our quiver, you know, is the thing that holds your arrows that you pull out and can shoot. And this is my quiver. This is the fullness of it. Some of you haven't met my older boys because they have grown up and moved on. So I just wanted to share and use the pointer just because it's fun. This is my oldest son, Shane. And this is Casey. Shane and Casey, we adopted at the same time. They're biological brothers. And our next adoption was Vicente and Yolanda. They are biological brother and sister as well. Our next adoption was Sam, the little guy over here. And I always get asked when we would go places, people would ask my kids, oh, are you going to be as tall as your daddy? And we were just like, probably not. You know, now I can say I have one that just might be. But, so that's Sam. And then Vernon, he's right here. He is our last adoption. And then this is my daughter-in-law and my granddaughter. And I don't have my grandson in this picture because this was taken before he was born. But so that is our quiver full of children. Oh, yes, right. In Psalm 127, 3-5, say this with me. Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. I say blessed whose quiver is full of them. You know, I believe everybody has a story that we tell, or a story of our life. Everybody has a burden, or everybody has something that is out of their control that just causes us to really fall on our face before the Lord. You know, for some people, maybe that is a chronic health issue that they just can never quite get over, but what it does is it causes them to come and just cry out to the Lord for that specific thing. For some, it's an addiction that they just can't seem to lick or to get beyond. For some people, it's a financial issue. I've known some people that have been faithful their whole life, but just there's always that burden of not quite making it with their finances or getting things straightened out. For some people, it's a trauma. Maybe you experienced a trauma as a child or a trauma as an adult, and it went so deep that the healing for that, the complete healing, just isn't quite there, and it causes you to seek the Lord, to fall on your face before him. For some, it's a loss, the heavy burden of grief, of walking through life with that and trying to get over that. I don't know what your story is, but I believe we all have one that causes us to come to that place. For me, for years, it was a story of the journey of infertility. I had always wanted to be a mom. Ever since I was little, I remember, you know, pretending to be a mom. And I remember my mom one time saying, well, Molly, you're going to grow up and be an adult and be a mom someday. And I was way too old for this to be a revelation. But I remember the moment of just sitting there going, like, ta-da! Really? Because at that time, that was just the most incredible thing that I could imagine, was to actually have my own children and to be a mom. So that seed then was planted in my life, and the hope to see that happen one day was there. You know, some people have these burdens and these stories, and they don't know the Lord. And I can't imagine, because I know how hard and difficult it is to go through life with faith and with the presence of the Holy Spirit and be burdened with something like that. And some people that go through that without. And I pray that they would come into a place of relationship with God, that he would walk through that with them. So through that journey, what the Lord taught me was how to pray. How to pray without ceasing, how to continue to contend and come before him, how to trust in him, even when the answers didn't seem like they were going to happen, or I didn't know where they were going to come from. All of those things just caused me to come into a more intimate and a deeper relationship. So we have a choice. We can either get bitter, or we can allow God to use that situation or whatever your story is to draw us closer, to strengthen our faith, to grow us in our understanding of who he is in our life. God has always been so faithful in my life as well. So it was a several-year journey of walking through infertility before the answer came, before we had kids. But I remember being up at Camp Crestview. It's up the gorge. It was a four-square camp that we would go for kids' camps, and women's and men's retreats. And this was probably about 3 years into the process of walking through infertility. And I was standing in the back. We were at a women's retreat in the fall, and I was just praying for our women. It was during worship. And there were, I knew specifically of some of the burdens that some of our women were carrying. So I'm in the back just praying for them, that God would touch them, that he'd bring an answer. And in a moment, he gave me a vision. Now, I can count probably on one hand how many times I can say I've heard the voice of God, or he's given me a vision, or he's birthed something in my heart that I knew that I knew that I knew that that was God. Have you ever experienced that? Anybody? Yeah, several. It's precious and unique, and I felt so loved and special. But what the vision was had nothing to do with what I was thinking or praying, so that's also how I knew it was from the Lord. But it was a picture of Jesus standing where two streets kind of converge like this, and there's a building in the middle. And I was walking down one street, and Jesus is at the corner, and he would look down the street I couldn't see, and then he would turn around with this smile on his face and say, "Oh, Molly." And he'd look again, and he came back and said, "It's going to be so good." And in that moment, I knew in my heart what he was referring to were children in my life and kids in my life. When I didn't even know that I needed that seed of hope to hold on to, not knowing. He didn't give me a date of when it was going to happen. But I had such a peace in my heart that it was no longer a question of if, but when. And so then began my journey of trust and faith in him that, okay, Lord, I believe you're answering this prayer. I don't know when, but I know that you are going to be answering it in that way. And I clung to that. There were seasons where we would get tests back and they're negative and things weren't going and happening like we wanted. And the Lord would bring that back to mind. It's like, okay, I'm suffering right now. And I'm devastated, but I trust in you, Lord. You know me better than I know myself, and I'm going to stand upon your promises. A couple years later, Mike and I were at a convention in Hawaii. I feel so old having to put glasses on. I'm a grandma now. What can I say? We were at a convention in Hawaii, and this was still before we had children, and we were sitting there watching this international children's choir and just enjoying what they were doing and stuff. And I caught my breath. It was a testament. So the first thing I wanted to talk about was fulfilled longing. Now I know what I'm going to do, what the Lord has brought before me today, that will be required of you. And that was just, I was so thankful for that reminder, because it was one more thing where the Holy Spirit was not only confirming and giving me hope that there would be a day I wouldn't be able to do that, and it would be because my house would be full of kids, but to appreciate the time and the moment that I had. My longing wasn't fulfilled yet, but there were still things that I could enjoy in life, that God could do through me in life in that process. The next thing is he taught us to do all that you can do and let God do the rest. So we did. That was a word that the Lord spoke to both Mike and I, was you do all that you can do. I think him just knowing how we are wired and how we are built, rather than just sit back, I would need to know at the end of my life, I did all that I could do. And honestly, I have to tell you, I kind of like it when the thing that I'm asking the Lord for is beyond my ability to self-fulfill. You know what I mean? Sometimes we can have things and we can make it happen, but was it the Lord? And so when things are just completely beyond my ability, I can just completely rely on the Lord and trust in him. So the Lord had told us both, do all that you can do and let me, I will take care of the rest. And so we did. We pursued every kind of, if you know my husband, he kind of likes to research things. He'll do a spreadsheet on what flavor gum to eat, to chew. He's just wired that way, and I love it because we get some of the best deals on things that you can imagine. But with this, so that's what he did. He had a spreadsheet of every possible way to adopt internationally, private, closed adoption, open adoption, and every agency, what the costs were, how long the process was. He had all of that mapped out. And we were also doing some infertility treatments at the same time. We figured we'll go as far as we can or as far as we can afford, and then, Lord, the rest is up to you. So we did that for several years. And I didn't want to waste the time longing instead of just living life to wait for that fulfillment to come. So read this with me, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. I noticed when I finished writing my message that a lot of the scriptures are life verses for me, ones that I've memorized over the years that have that I've quoted and declared and claimed. But I love this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Oftentimes it doesn't make sense to us, right? It's like he's answering a prayer, but I don't understand it or I don't see it yet. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. You know, sometimes it's okay to wait for something. I have a grandmother that is the matriarch of my family, my dad's side of the family, and a Grandma Jo. And she taught all of us how to knit and make bread and all of these things. She invested in our lives over the years. But she knew that when I was a young person, I didn't have a lot of patience. If I wanted something, I wanted it 2 days ago. Does anybody relate to that? It's like, I have a goal or I want this and I want it like yesterday. And she used to say to me, Malzie, she's the only one I think that's ever called me Malzie. And she would pull me aside and just say, Malzie, it's okay to want something for a while because it just makes you appreciate it even more. And that is so true. I mean, words of wisdom from a sage, right? We want it yesterday, but sometimes things that come easy to us, we don't appreciate as much. We don't hold them in high esteem as much because it was easy to get, and now we're on to the next thing. So I would hold on to that, though. Those words would come back to remind me while I was waiting for that longing to be fulfilled. It's okay to wait for something because it'll just make it even more special. The next thing I wanted to talk about was unanswered prayer. What do we do with unanswered prayer? Sometimes we think a prayer is not being answered, but it just might take time, right? Some prayers take time before they are answered. Have you ever experienced that? Sometimes I've prayed for things and the answer is immediate. I've seen healings happen in my own life, in my own body, in other people I've prayed for. I've seen some things that are more of a process. It takes a season to come to have that answer. But I believe that God is faithful and he doesn't set us up to fail. The answer is coming, but sometimes it takes a little while. Daniel 9:23 says, as soon as you began to pray, an answer was given, which I've come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. There was a war going on and all of these things. And what I love about that is Daniel prayed and the angel says, the answer was given when you prayed. It just took me a while to get here because there was a lot of battle, a lot of stuff going on. That we do get there. We also need to... I don't know how I did that. Wait for the blessing that is unique for you. You know, there were times that I would go along and see people having kids and stuff, and my heart's desire was to never be unthankful for other people's blessings. You know, sometimes when you see other people getting what you want, it can plant a seed of bitterness or of jealousy or of, Lord, what's going on? You know, just that unknown. And we evaluate ourselves and am I not, you know, special, or you don't want to bless me? But one thing that through this whole process the Lord really taught me and put on my heart was not to be jealous of someone else's blessing. Because I believe that he's got a blessing that's designed for Molly, for me. And if I get someone else's blessing, it's not going to be fulfilling for me. Because he knows how I'm wired. He knows how I am made. And so to contend for that. So the clincher with this is several years into pastoring the church, we were still in Columbia City, and we had a baby explosion. Some of you are here that were a part of that, in a good way. But within about 6 months, I think we had 10 babies born. And this was a smaller church. And it was just crazy. But the clincher was, I was walking down the hall of the old church, headed back to my office, and I had just found out about another family that was going to be having a baby. And they had several kids. They weren't trying to get pregnant. She was a more mature person, if you know what I'm saying. Was not prepared to have another baby. And totally thrilled that they were. But she had to go through the process of, okay, we're starting over again. And I remember walking down the hall and just thinking, this is awesome, Lord. You know, I was doing children's ministry at that time. It's like, this is great church growth. And then it just hit me and I said, have I not been specific enough? Because people that don't even want to get pregnant are getting pregnant. I meant me right here. So I just love the sense of humor that God has. Amen. That even times like that, you know, I can still celebrate with those that might be getting what I think I want. But it's going to be a different story for me. But that's okay, because it's going to be written for me. And it's going to be the Molly blessing. I can't function in someone else's blessing. It's not going to bring me the fulfillment that I desire. So just think of that. If there's something that you're contending for, and you don't see it coming about, but you see it happening everywhere else, that's okay. Because you don't want someone else's blessing. Just wait until the Lord brings your blessing. Insert your name. Another one of my favorite scriptures is Jeremiah 29:11. Can you read this with me? For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. I clung to this verse all throughout my life, really, but especially those times of transition when I moved from the place that I had grown up at and moved to a city on my own to go to Bible college. I clung to this scripture. When I got married and I'm praying and fasting for my family to come, and I would pray this scripture and be encouraged by this scripture, because God said, I know the plans I have for you. And I thought, that's okay. I may think I know the plans. My plan was to get married young, have all my kids, raise them, send them on to be successful in life, and then be still kind of young with my husband, and we could travel and do all of these things, right? Isn't that I kind of had goals for my life. Then I got saved. And then I figured out, oh, he has a plan too. And I said, I submit to that. Okay. So that was a good learning curve. But the comfort that can come from knowing God has a plan for your life. And it may look different than what you think. But one thing the Lord taught me through this whole process was, Lord, I know you too well and I love you too much to believe the lie that you're setting me up for failure. I believe you do have a plan for my life. And I trust you enough to say whatever that's going to look like. But I would always add, but I really don't want to be a Sarah. I don't want to be 90 getting pregnant. My goal was young, remember? The reality was, when we finally got our first kids, I was 35. And I thought my kids would be half raised by then. And that's when we got our first set. of kids. But it's like, Lord, but I trust in you. You know me better than I know myself. You know how I'm wired. You know what's going to fit. And you know where I'm going to be the best blessing as well. The last thing I want to talk about is the celebration, received blessing. You know, like it says, when you least expect it, that's when it comes often. I was at a retreat at Camp Crestview in 2001. So this was almost 8 years into our journey of desiring children and wanting to have a family. And at that time, I was an on-site coordinator for some kids' camps that were happening. And so in January, we would have a retreat for all of the directors to come and for training and prayer and all of that. And I had a friend at that time. Her name is, I still have her as a friend. Her name is Julie Johnson, and I call her my stork. Because when I was at this retreat, her husband was the executive director of the camping program. And he comes up to me before the retreat starts. He says, Molly, Julie faxed this. Yes, faxed. That's a machine that we used to put paper in, and it would send a picture somewhere. Faxed this for you and wanted me to give it to you. And so I picked it up, and it's a picture of this little girl and a little boy. And the little girl has a tear coming down her face. It was just like, oh. And on the paper, she wrote, legally free. And that was it. And I had no idea what she was talking about. So I called her, and she said, yeah, these kids are available for adoption. They've gone through all the legal process where they are available. There's everything has happened for them to be adopted to another family. And they're in foster care right now. And I'm just like, after all the research that Mike and I had done, neither one of us realized that you could adopt through the state of Oregon or through any state kids that were in foster care that were ready to be placed in a family. And so I'm just like, what? So I'm getting all these answers from her and stuff, and that flicker of hope began to happen in my heart. And honestly, the flesh side of me didn't want to let it out. When you've had several disappointments in your life and that begins to grow again, it's just like, I don't know if I can go through that again. But it was like the lid got torn off. And so I asked her all these questions and figured out what the next step would need to be and found myself kind of getting excited. Now, up until this time, we had gone down many paths of possible adoptions or, like I said, infertility treatments and all of these things. And the door was shut every single time over 8 years. And so here comes this new thing that I'd never heard of. And so I called Mike and told him, and I was going to go home the next day, and I knew exactly where I was going, what doorstep I would be on. But I just began to feel myself to dream again. And so we finished our session that night, and I went to bed, and I realized in all of the excitement of the day that I hadn't done my devotions yet. And at that time, I was going through systematically, Mike has talked about this before, but I was reading Psalms and Proverbs every day. And if you read one chapter of Proverbs and five Psalms, you go through the entire book of Psalms and Proverbs in a month. And I was just feasting at that time on Psalms and Proverbs. And so I thought, okay, well, this has been an amazing day and a lot of excitement, but, you know, I just want to come and spend some time with Jesus. And so I read my proverb for the day. It was January 23rd. So I read the 23rd chapter of Proverbs. And then you go to Psalms and you start with the day that it is. So I read Psalm 23. Then you add 30 to each one. So then it was Psalm 53, then Psalm 83. And when I got to the second psalm, in my mind I thought, you know what? There was a passage I underlined years ago that had to do with a barren woman having kids. And I had underlined it. And I just thought, if I end up on that scripture tonight, that's going to be crazy. That's going to be like the biggest coincidence ever, right? And so then I went to 83 and I read that psalm, and it wasn't that psalm. And then I turned to Psalm 113, which was in that psalm for that day. And this was the scripture that came. He settles the barren woman in her home as the happy mother of children. Well, if you can imagine, I was up and out of that room in a second. It was like a lightning. I had to let everyone know what was going on. I was waking people up. It's like, listen to this. And I would tell them, what are the odds that I would actually read that scripture today when I got this news of hope of another possibility? It was amazing and such a blessing for the Lord to come along yet again to confirm, hang in there. I've got a plan for you. Just wait. It's going to be so good. So I came home the next day and started the process because in my mind, this little girl and this little boy that were in the picture, those were my kids. And so I was calling the caseworker. They're like, you're not really supposed to do that. I was calling anybody that I could to let them know we're in the process, we're not ready yet, but hold on, and, you know, all of this. And they said, you know, we get this packet like this that you fill out. And they said this process can take a year or two just to get through all of the work, paperwork, and get to the point where you would be available to adopt. We had it all done in a month. And I was motivated. But also, it was God's favor opening doors. We had our financials done, our recommendations done, our health appointments done. We had everything completed and turned in. And I'm calling the caseworker again because I'm thinking this little girl and little boy are the ones. And she said, oh, just yesterday we sent their name to committee because we can't hold up kids being adopted, you know, because you're just telling me you're trying. And I was so disappointed. I was so mad. It's like, I told you that we were serious and that we were doing this. And, you know, there's that, oh, I thought this was it. And then the disappointment. And, oh, you're just working back and forth. But again, I had to come back to that place. Well, okay, Lord, I thought one thing, but I don't know what you have in mind or what your blessing is going to be there. And let me tell you, when the blessing does come, all those years of waiting and longing just seem to disappear. They just seem to... So it was 8 months from the time that we started, that January 23rd, when I found out about adopting through the state, until August, when our boys came home. That whole process when that happened was just like a blip. But I'm so thankful. I wouldn't trade anything for it because of the things that the Lord taught me through that. The things that grew in my heart, the maturity that He was able to bring that apply to every area of my life. After meeting Shane and Casey, they do it gradually so that the kids don't get overwhelmed. So they were living down in Lane County at that time. So we drove down and met them for like an hour at their foster home and just kind of hung out with them. And then the next day we were going to come back and do like a picnic for a few hours and then wait a couple days and then take them for an overnight. They kind of have that process. But I tell you, the moment that we met these boys, they were 4 and 5 years old, was overwhelming. They immediately started calling us mom and dad, and the caseworker would look at us like, don't make them do that. We're like, we're not doing that. It's just, they were so ready for mom and dad, and we were so ready, whoops, sorry, for our kids. But we met them, and we went back to our hotel, and both Mike and I simultaneously just fell to our knees and just thanked the Lord that we had never gotten pregnant. Because I thought the answer would come, or my desire was for that answer to come one way. And then we meet these two boys, and I just thought, the honor it would be to be their mom and to raise them was overwhelming. And I was able to come back and say, thank you, Lord. I couldn't see around the corner. I didn't know what the future held, but you did, and you put us together. And it's been like that with every one of our adoptions. I could take a whole other hour just telling you about the miraculous adoptions and how the Lord put our family together. It's beautiful, and it's a miracle, as it is if you birth them or if they come. And I always had faith, especially when it's not if, it's when. It didn't matter to me what body they came through. You know, I believed that they were born maybe in someone else's body, but they were my child. And there was that immediate bond when they would come. Proverbs 13 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. And I've experienced that. When we have hope for something and it's waiting and waiting and waiting, our heart can become sick, that sadness that can come. But hold on there, because when that longing is fulfilled, it is a tree of life. Can you say amen to that? You know, another thing that I learned through that whole process, knowing how much I longed to hold my kids. There were years that I prayed for them, not knowing if they were going to come through my body or someone else's. I would pray for their protection. I would pray for their covering, their provision. I would pray for their biological parents. If they were born already, I would pray for their health. I would just pray these things to the Lord. And I'll never forget, after the boys came home, and I was talking to my stork friend, Julie. Stork, because she told us about the whole process that we got our kids through. And she's just checking up on me, and how are things going? Is the honeymoon over? You know, are there any behaviors and stuff? And I said, it is just absolutely amazing. They're healthy. They're, you know, I was just talking and talking about them, and she just called me up a little bit. She said, well, Molly, you've been praying for your kids for years, and to be able to sit there and just go, oh my gosh, here's the answer to my prayers. These kids have come through a lot, and here they are, healthy and beautiful and ready for life. So your prayers are being answered, and you will see that. But what I learned through that was, as much as I longed for children, how much more God the Father longs for his children to be restored. He knows his kids by name that haven't come back into the fold. I didn't know my kids' personalities and their names yet, but I still longed for them. And it just revealed to me the Father's heart. And I want us to pray today, if you're sitting there, God loves you more than you can imagine and desires for you to come home like our boys came home, to come back and be a part of the family, be forgiven, live a life for him. Can we just close our eyes for a moment? Oh, Jesus, we lift this up to you, Lord. And first, I just pray for anyone that is in the middle of their journey right now. Lord, their story, their burden that they carry. Lord, I pray for hope to be birthed in their heart today. Lord, that you would give them a word, that you would give them a scripture, that you would give them encouragement to know, to hang on, to not give up, to continue to pursue, to lay it before you, to trust in you, Lord God. But right now, I also ask that if you're out there and you feel the Father's calling, wanting you to be restored, to come and be forgiven, to be added back into the family, to just look up at me so that we can pray and you can be restored. and forgiven and come back into that family. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Can you just stand with me this morning? And just repeat these words after me. Lord Jesus, I present myself before you. I humble myself before you. And I respond to that call to come home. Fill my heart with your Holy Spirit. Fill my life with hope, Lord God, as I come and trust in you. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen, amen. Well, bless you today. Happy Mother's Day. Thank you.